first interview with Mr. Eugene Davis Dye. He lives near Maize Lick, Kentucky. The interview is February 27th, 1988. The interviewer is Lynn David. Now, we just visit. Mm-hmm. Where were you born?
Ocean County.
On a farm?
1890, yeah.
1890? Mm-hmm. What were your parents' names?
Luke D. Dye, and my mother was Sadie A. Dye.
Did you have any brothers or sisters?
She died at 71, my dad died at a young man, 57 years old.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I've got one sister living in Ashland, the youngest one, and she's not young, she's right around 80. And I've got a sister older than I am. Today she'd have been 90. She's 2 years older than I am. She's buried about 3 years ago. And I've got a sister, Margaret, and she went to the dentist chair with my mother to have a tooth pulled. I think that in 32. And she had a doctor. She couldn't take gas. She had been sick once before, pulling tooth. And had a doctor there. And he wasn't just out of balance or something. I don't know. But he gave her too much chloroform. Mother sitting there waiting on her, and she passed out right in the chair.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I was in Mayville, and they couldn't find me. And she was just 27 years old.
Oh, how awful.
And she's married and had no children.
So you grew up with
a... My sister died while I was in the Army. I was in the Army 2 years, World War I. And she died while I was over there.
Where were you?
Over Europe.
In France, or...?
Mm-hmm.
So you grew up...
I might have been in England. Yeah. I was there a good while. And
what'd you do in the Army?
Huh?
What did you do in the Army?
Everything they had to do. Everything from an orderly up to drove ambulance, supply trucks, and just whatever they had to do, you know.
Were you
wheelbar, shoveler, and
were you in any fighting during World War I?
No, I was pretty well behind the lines. We had an evacuation hospital there in Southampton at that time, and I went and met the boat every morning at 10 o'clock, take the patients out there, convalescing, you know, and get them in shape to ship back here. Mm. Went over at 10 o'clock every morning, meet them.
You saw some pretty bad things over there, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I was talking to a man yesterday in West Maysville. My throat bothers me a lot. That's the only trouble I have. And I'd have been operated on. I went to Lexington 5 years ago, and the doctor told me I would have it done. And I said, I hate to have my throat cut till I see somebody else has had it done. And I went back and found two, but now it's a little too late because the anesthetic would be against me, you see.
What was it like growing up with a house full of girls? Were you the only boy?
No, I had a brother who died 2 years ago
in
Chicago.
Did you all farmed then, you say?
Huh?
Your dad farmed? You were farmers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been there ever since. He bought this farm. He was on another one out there. Well, when that boy was in the Air Force, my son. And we bought a farm out there 10 years, and then I came back and bought this farm down here. It was right on the border of Mason and Fleming, you see.
Yeah. I think what she's wanting to know is she's wanting you to tell her about the farm over in Robeson County where you were born on.
That's the farm we tried to find for the last year or two. Went down through bushes and everything, and we couldn't ever get to it. Recently, a few years ago, the house burnt. And all these trees have grown up in the road, but they've got a different route. And we never did get down there.
Yeah. What was your dad like? What kind of a man was your father?
He thought medium weight. I think he weighed around 176 or 70.
Was he harsh, stern, or was he? Did he like to have a lot of good times, or?
Yes, he was. Yes, there's a piece over there, 2 terms over, basically.
Oh,
he run for county judge, but he lost. He wake him up and run a hotel in Plumbersburg for years. But I went there, and then he finally quit there. Got disabled. He was about 57 when he died.
Well, he was a justice of peace here in Mays Lick.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? Did he ever tell you any stories about being the justice of peace here?
Well, he had trials over there at the store.
Which store?
On the intersection of Mount Olivet Road and Raymond Pike, out of about 5-6 miles in front of it. And he had murder trial there once. And I was there several different times, right in the store, I remember that. And they had 2 or 3 lawyers from Mabel.
What kind of, do you remember the who got murdered?
Liz Driblin and a Morgan man. And his wife run in between them some way. And he got hurt, you know. When during the trial, before the trial. And then he had different kinds of civil cases that are different things. And even married people at the time.
Justice Peace did marry a lot of people then, didn't they?
Of course, their main object was road work too, you know, keep up the roads.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of things I could have think about. We never thought about these things coming up, you know. And I would know a lot more about it.
Tell her the name of the store that your dad, where your dad served as magistrate.
Yeah, store there. I don't know how many years it run, but it had a hookster wagon. And it had 2 horses and a car worked for them. And they had different routes, different days.
Now, what's a huckster wagon?
Groceries and all, it's the whole store. Had shelves on each side, you go down. And you didn't have to have no yardstick. Had a yard journey and measure off calico and goods and safeties on the side.
On the side of the...
And they carried everything, coal oil, everything you might need. And exchange for poultry, eggs, stuff like that. He run that for several years, and this man is right working for him. He's too much credit.
Who was the man who worked for him?
Sam Vaughn. He lived at Falmouth. Saw his name the other day somewhere where he'd been. And others worked for him there, Pierce Duncan, different ones. And he run that store for several years, and then he sold. He was magistrate at that time, and after that he sold gasoline orange over this county. They had one here, I know of. We had 2 or 3 of them. They sold around $10 his gasoline. And everywhere he stopped, sold one. He sold must have sold 500 of them.
What were they?
Gasoline orange, smoothing orange, you know.
How did they work? I've never heard of one.
That little tank here and the gasoline, they generate them just like a torch. And pump them up and then just go ahead and work. A half a pint of run, you maybe do the whole horn.
Weren't they dangerous?
No, not a bit more. They're pretty heavy. And he sold a lot of them.
What'd they cost?
$10. Sold one every more stop, yeah.
Oh, I've never heard of a gasoline iron. Did you light them someplace? Or?
Yeah, you light it with a match. You see, it'll burn until it goes out and you have to set it down, you know. They get hot, too. And he sold all them orange, and then he run for county judge, and he failed there. They run that hotel.
What hotel? What was the name
Merchant's
of
Merchant's Hotel there in town. We bought out an old man. And I started the bus line down there. From Sargent's to Maysville, I was 62. And they run that way to Maysville, and I started in 16th of June in Plumbersburg. And run there until I went to Army.
What year was that you started the bus line? Remember?
16th of of June 1913.
1913. Mm-hmm. What kind of bus did you run?
Well, it was an early bus, you know, not, you know, big high wheels and solid tires.
Who made the bus? Ford or?
No, it was International.
An International bus.
And the first one I bought was $1,000.
That was a lot of money, wasn't it?
It was then. And I think I got paid for that truck in about less than a year.
How many people would it hold?
About 10. And I used that at the store, and they run there. Of course, I'd see them every day in Maysville from Summersville.
Yeah.
And I boarded this hotel where we bought out afterwards. And this last one I had was had these pretty nice, well-equipped bus and had glass doors in the back windows. But the first one just didn't have glass windows. Had what they call mica, eyes in the glass windows. You roll them up, you know. In them days, that's the reason my eyes are not too good shape now. Too much dust and stuff.
Yeah.
Well.
You have a picture of that bus? Did you ever take a photograph of it?
I have over there, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see a picture of that.
And I've got one. I went to yesterday to see patients at the hospital down at the nursing home. I expect you know them. Was it Ludie Whaley and Frances Stiles?
Yes. They're nice ladies.
Frances is in awful bad shape.
Yeah, I know.
But Ludie's not bad. She said, I'm here just for company for her, so I don't have to.
No.
Nothing wrong. But Ludie will be 99 next birthday.
Yeah. So do you know her?
I saw them yesterday. And went to see Patty Bryce Taylor. And she's 10 minutes after I left her, she didn't know who it was. And I didn't spend much time with her because I didn't have the time, as there was somebody else. And I've seen them several weeks ago before, but I went again yesterday. And I don't remember, I expect you got the date of that, but this bank over here I think was organized in about 1902.
The Maeslick Bank?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, well, you do remember it being organized, yeah.
I mean, however, we never done no business here. I'd done business Sardis, and it didn't run long, it broke.
Sardis Bank did?
Yes, in 1910, maybe. And I had an uncle out there, he only had a little Sardis, lost quite a bit of money in there.
What caused the bank to fail at Sardis, do you know?
Well, it just didn't hold up. Someone, and I went to the Farm and Treasure in Maysville. And then he sold all his equipment there at the store, and he quit for several years there. And he run the county judge, and he failed there. And then I came home every Saturday down there. This store was called, had post offices. They called it Needmore.
Needmore?
Yes.
That's an old name around here, isn't it?
There's one more somewhere in the eastern part of the state. And
now the Needmore
moved up there. You don't remember her with him. Well, he lived up and married a cousin of mine, Mabel, died. And the post office we had was moved from up there where he lives on that Raymond Road at Manley's, on a store up there. And they moved it down where we were, and they changed it to Needmore. And he bought this store from old man John Allison, I thought, but it seemed like he looked it up and couldn't find it, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Craker.
And then this old man where I boarded up there in Jackson in Flemingsburg, Merchant's Hotel. He's getting old, and he's an old United States Marshal. And he said, let me sell this out to you fellas. I'm getting tired of this job. Said, it pays pretty good. So I went back and talked to my daddy about it, and we bought it and moved up there in 1914. And he run that while I was in the army and went out during the duration of the war. And then he developed what they call rheumatism then, now it's arthritis or diabetes or something. And he died a young man, 57 years old. And then I carried that store. After I'd run that bus line down there too, and I'd run that store down there for about 10 years. Started when I was 15 years old.
When you were 15, you started running a store?
Yes, sir.
Did you have any trouble with older people wanting to do business with a 15-year-old?
Well, money was scarce at that time. But I done pretty well with the store, so I sold that out and went up and run that bus line. And still, I was in it again. I went in business after I come back from the Army, mercantile business in Plymouthburg. I've been in several businesses there. And I had another grocery down in where I was. It was a wholesale place. I handled everything for the farm, produce business, bought all kinds of poultry, and hauled them to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Many trips I made up there.
Why to Philadelphia?
Huh?
How come you took it to Philadelphia?
Well, it was a good eastern market. Most of it went to Maryland to start produce, Abbey West down there. And
did you haul the produce by train or by barge? Or
we had a big long truck and trailer hauling it.
Hauled it in my truck.
It's about a little over, I expect, well, it's over 600 miles.
Yeah. What all did you take to them?
Then I've been done a lot of long distance hauling. I had speeder trucks, 145. And I've been here all over the state several times. I've been down in Texas several times. And this woman I went to see yesterday, Patty Taylor, she was a doctor's daughter. And she's got a picture of that group. I took 42 down there on a semi-trailer. It was gone 2 weeks. And went down south here all around, down to Biloxi. If wherever they had camps, well, we parked there. And they done their own cooking. Sunday they eat out. And we went down south and went to Mobile, Alabama. And the professor of the schools, they were school teachers. And like that, you know, there's 42 of them.
Did Mary Lyda McIlvain go on that trip?
Who?
Mary Lyda McIlvain go on that trip?
Yeah.
She's told me about that, how much fun they had.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
I talked to her, to Ms. Whaley yesterday, and she said she had two daughters in that, too. There wasn't no men, only me and my cousin, relief driver. We each one drive 100 miles and put in 10 gallons of gas and change, you know. And when we left New Orleans, the professor Huey, he says, can you make 319 miles today? I said, never did make that in this rig. And he says, they're going to have the lunch on the truck. And everybody will eat on there. And when you relieve your, that's your other driver, get in and you can eat. And we made it about sundown. That night, you couldn't sleep there but in Shreveport. I'm telling you, the mosquitoes, I believe, was as big as wasps.
They got some big ones.
And then we went on. Next day, we come to Texarkana. Dividing line between Texas and Arkansas. This brother says, how many you got in that rig? I says, 42. He says, I wouldn't want to drive them. I said, I wouldn't either if I ever get back home. So we pulled into Texas. And went in there then and pulled in what they call Tent City. It's all tents here. It's mostly Indians. And we spent the day there. And he gave each one of them, I was telling somebody the other day, $1 apiece to get their dinner. They wouldn't get much today, would they?
No.
So they eat out. He did eat out.
Now, where was this Tent City? In Texas? Or
Tent City. It was in Dallas.
In Dallas?
Yeah, and I've been down Sulphur Springs, but I've been to Texas several times and moved people down there.
You were quite a businessman from a real young age, weren't you?
I said the other day, if I'd got what I ought to had, as much as I've done, I ought to laid a lot of money, but shoot, you had competition and everything.
Talking about business, businesses do you remember were in Mays Lick when you were a little boy? Do you remember any old businesses that used to be here?
They had two saloons there.
Where were they?
Right across the street there from the post office. His old Herbert Fox lives there now, colored man. You know him?
Yeah.
Well, Mitty Toll gave him that property for a home. Now, that's the old Mike Young property, and he runs a saloon right across this side of it. In this corner building, where you turn on the Raymond Road, old man Jim Hicks, a real black nigger, black as ink, run a store there for years.
Was that a saloon, too?
And then if you look across the street, there's a new store on the corner. I don't know what's in it now. But it's right across from the, you know, just opposite that grocery there on the corner.
The brick building?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, he owned every built that new, and he's president of the Colored Fair at Mays Lick, and yeah, he made a lot of money there.
Who was that now?
Jim Hicks.
Jim Hicks built that building?
Mm-hmm. Masters Claypool had it, and I don't know who owns it now, but it's history, and right in below that, opposite where that pool room is now, there's a jail across there. Maybe you see it, a little red building.
That was a jail?
Uh-huh. And they had town marshal and then both events, B-E-N-Z, for a town marshal. They had to have them because they had sold whiskey in both places, you know, beer. They had two saloons there. Mike Young run one of them, and he had a lot of boys. And this fellow at Mount Carmen, Fleming County, worked there, and he got shot. His name was... I can't think of it now, but the other man that run the saloon was Tony Pfeiffer, P-F-F-F-E-R, Pfeiffer.
Now, he ran the saloon in the brick building? Mr.
Now,
Pfeiffer?
He ran a saloon across the road from where that pool room is now.
Okay, all right.
That opposite it.
Now, you say there was a shooting.
You see down there on the right, there's a little building there yet, a red little building. Mm-hmm. That's a jail.
Do you know when that jail was built?
Well, it had to be way back in, I'd say, several years back then.
Yeah. You said there was a shooting. When did that shooting take place?
Oh, yes, that's history, too. I can't tell too much about that. There's one man was killed.
Is that in the early 1900s?
Yeah, I believe it was Jefferson, maybe.
Well, I can look that up if I have about the date that it probably happened.
There's an old lady, down there yesterday. Bree's woman, she lives, you know where, up the road there, this Mays Lick on the Raymond Road. There's an old lady lives there, named Bree's. Right opposite the Matthews place.
Okay.
She's down there yesterday. They run a bus from Mays Lick down there, about 10 of them comes down there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Would you like a glass of water?
Huh?
Would you like a glass of water?
My throat gets bothering me sometimes.
Let me get you a glass of water.
But there's none of them here today. The last man up here, if you could talk to him, he could told you more than I do. But he died last year. He's 99 years old. Henry Collins.
I miss Mr. Collins, yeah.
Did you?
No, I didn't get to talk to him. I'm sorry I didn't.
Well, I wanted to see him again, but he died before I knew it.
Yeah. You remember the Methodist church that used to be in town? Down by where the jail was? Do you remember there being a Methodist church there at one time?
Yeah. That church right there, but the bank, you know, It's a big building there. I don't know who's in there now. Kitchen, is it?
Uh-huh.
But that was a building there. And the church right by that. The
Presbyterian Church.
Yeah. One time there's a marshal boy over there, Sheridan Marshall at Sardis, called me up and wanted to know if I'd go over to church with him. Had one of these old Phaetons. A buggy, you know what a buggy is.
Uh-huh.
And they had a double rig with two horses with three. This was a Phaeton. And I knew the boy, but how he ever called me, I don't know why, but he called me to go over there with him, and I went to that church. I didn't remember what church it was, but I know now Kindred belonged to it.
Uh-huh.
And it's a Presbyterian. And that building there was built long before the bank opened.
It's an old church.
Tom Hopper run it.
Who ran it?
Tom Hopper.
Ran the bank?
No, that store.
Oh, next to, oh, where Kitchens is. Yeah, okay.
I remember they said there's a man here in Mays Lake right there. I forget his name now, but he had a habit of going around just getting into things. He'd come there and get on a keg of nails and put his pocket full. He said they just watched him. And they charge it up to him. I forget his name. But I remember talking about it. Joe Hildreth was a little fella wearing blue licks. He went to work there at 14 years old. Stayed with Mr. Hopper all his life. And finally married Alma, his daughter. And he lived over at Helena Rob's place, just the other side of the fence probably.
Uh-huh.
And kind of getting ahead of the story now.
No.
Now that boy across from that, young Arbor Watson.
Okay.
His daddy, I used to see him Mabel every time I go down there. He ate down there with a woman from Washington, the name of Jefferson, I believe. She's Joe Jefferson's wife. And I went to see him just about a year ago, and he moved over there with his daughter, Merle Glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Daughter up there last one, I'd go over and see him, and he died last year. And that's this young boy that lives up where I'm telling you there, this side of Mays Lake, before you make the turn. Young Arbor Watson.
Okay.
Know? Somebody told me the other day he wasn't very good shape, wasn't too well.
I hadn't heard that.
Well, that was a big family that wasn't. They all did. There was a big family. Went to school together. We went to school over there on the, what they call the old Mount Olive Road. It runs all the way from Lexington Road to Mount Olive.
What was the name of your school?
You mean the school?
Mm-hmm. What'd they call it?
At Mays Lake?
No, you said the school you went to.
Oh, Arthur Rannon. 1910, I went to Mabel with a wagon. He had a horse and wagon in, down the Hill City Road. I used to go down that way and come in because that Mabel Hill, level 60, was a horseshoe bend,
yeah.
The seat. And hard to pull back. And I went down there that day and got a load of groceries, and I come in. In the afternoon up there, what they used to call Latham's Pond, up there across from, there I think Fulton live up there now.
Okay.
It's a great big pond. And Lincoln Phillips was out on the road and he says, "Where are you going to unload that?" I said, "Down the store, I reckon." He said, "I don't know if there's anything left down there or not." He said, "That warehouse floated off foundation here today and hit that school and tore it all to pieces. Hit a big elm tree. And all that went down and passed our property right through it and tore out all the fences and everything."
Oh.
And sure enough, he was about right. I just barely had a place to unload.
So what, big flood then caused it? Big flood of some
sort?
For heaven's sake. So you watched everything float by?
And I have a deadly old red wall back in there, and now Leo Doyle lives there. You know him?
No, uh-uh. Don't know Leo.
He lives there, and he made a home out of it.
Out of the school?
Out of the store.
Out of the store.
And made a nice place out of it. I stop and see him sometimes. Mm-hmm. And
Did you ever hear of the Stonewall House in Maeslick?
Stonewall.
Stonewall House. It must have been a hotel or a... Did you ever know anything about a Stonewall House?
No, that's before my time was quick.
I can't find anything out about it, and I thought you might know.
I had a sister that went to school over there and boarded there with the Worthingtons.
Went over to school where, huh?
Rube and Wilbur Worthington. They're both dead. She went to school over there, but after that, they had some consolidated school come on and drove a horse and wagons. And her daughter, my brother, and one or two sisters went over there to school.
Over where?
And of course, they put on buses later on, or school buses.
Over here to Maeslick to school?
Mm-hmm. It was the first consolidated school in the state.
Yeah. But you never went over here to school?
Huh?
You never went over here to school?
No, I went there. Well, after that washed away, I went to Slip Up, they called it. You know what that is?
Yeah. Why do they call that Slip Up?
Well, somebody over at one time, he didn't have no name, and said, I'm going to slip up to the store a little while, and they named it that. I was in Cincinnati with Bob Brown, Nick Cooney, I believe it was Nick Cooney, maybe. He took a big load from Maysville, and I went on the load, 40-some-odd down there, to spend the day, and went to the zoo and everywhere. And they had a lecture there, and they was going to give something away. And says, is anybody, says, there's a place out here on 62 they call Slip Up. Is anybody around here from Slip Up? And two of us stood up, the Allison boy and me. And I got a pound of winnie, a ticket, and to take to the IG and get me a pound of winnie.
Paid off to be, know where Slip Up was then, mm-hmm. didn't it?
I remember his car drove out there somewhere and he hit a dead end of the street and he like never got turned around. Went to the zoo and everywhere.
I've never been to the zoo.
Haven't you?
I've got to go up there and go.
When I was a boy, I went there several times. And I run a bus, a truck line to Cincinnati for a long time, hauled twice a week down there for a grocery up there. I've been in several different kinds of business. And we went into Dodge and Plymouth, but we couldn't get nothing. We sold 14 cars and trucks and couldn't get one of them.
How come you couldn't get them?
Just during World War II, you know, and they couldn't get them out.
Couldn't get them out, yeah. Where you had your garage over in Flemingsburg, or?
Huh?
Did you have your garage over in Flemingsburg?
Yeah, I built one there. Still got it. I gave it to my son. I deeded everything I've got to him, really. Except the home now that the girl works up the bank here.
Cheryl.
You met her.
Oh, yeah.
Her and her husband lives there this year, and I may sell it and divide it up to them. I lived there too long by myself, so I got to have a good part of gold, been better old. Let's see, I don't know what else I can tell you.
Tell me about Maeslick. When you were growing, do you remember a bandstand in Maeslick?
Yes, sir.
What did it look like?
Well, they made out of boards, and they had a good band there one time. Sardis did, too.
Did they?
My dad was in the Sardis band. And there's a man up at Sardis one day. I've got a book on Sardis. I don't know where you've seen it or not, but it could tell you a whole lot about Sardis. Dave got one of them. And they had a good band up there one time and broke up and then reorganized. It's an old, quaint little old town that she wrote a book on.
Yeah, I like Sardis.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any other stores or businesses in Maeslick that you used to come visit? You talked about Jim Hicks' business.
Old Jim Hicks was a good old nigger. He run that on the corner right there, coming down towards, you know, going on the Raymond Road.
Yeah, right across from the grocery store. Yeah.
Yeah, he run there for years, and I run that store down there. And he had a big water cooler over that hold 1,000 pounds of ice. I'd go to Maidburn and get a 300-pound ice in a wagon and covered with all kinds of blankets. And the time I got home, a whole lot of that would lose, you know.
Yeah.
And we kept ice in that place, held 300 pounds. And it's a great big cooler, and he hauled, Hicks sold something, it looked like it was a beer, but it's 0.5%.
What was it called?
Called Maltina.
Maltina.
And he sold a word of that, and I bought this cooler from him, and I've handled it over there. At that Fox farm, Lee Fox, Dick Dardy, and all them up there used to come down there Sunday evening and drink that. It's half of 0.5%, but it wouldn't no effect on your mind, you know.
Who made it?
Oh, it's made in, I don't know, where's New Ohio, someplace.
Oh, someplace
sold
else.
10 cents a bottle. Yeah.
Do you remember any distilleries around here?
Who?
Distilleries where we made whiskey around Mays Lick, this area? You remember any?
Stores.
No, distilleries where they made the whiskey. Do you remember any of those? Anybody around here that made?
Crow down there, Frankfort, and another big distillery there.
But none right around here?
No, but there's one there at Lewisburg, down the foot of the hill, big rock building. It was a distillery, they always told me it's a big distillery. This side of Lewisburg. Yeah. By the way, we come through Lewisburg yesterday and saw where them houses burnt the other day.
Yeah, that was a shame.
Mm-hmm. Nobody at home.
Do you remember any other businesses in Mays Lick when you were a boy?
Well, when I had that truck body built over there, old man Jim McGee he built it. And there's another blacksmith right there where I don't think anybody runs in that war. On this side on the corner, Sam Maston runs a long time. His wife still living. She lives back at the bank. Because I went to see her this last summer. And she's in bad shape. Mary Sanford, Stockdale, Maston. Yeah. She has a daughter and had a sister and died in Mays Lick.
Were there other?
Guilford Lowell there. I went to school with him, and he lived in Mays Lick. And that's his daughter that works in the bank, Ruth.
Painter?
Painter.
Oh, it is.
And she sold out that hardware store. I was over there every day, 3 days selling that.
Oh, you sold it?
No, I said I was over there visiting it.
Oh, when they were selling it out.
And the man in Ohio bought it. All the knives she had. She had a lot of Barlows. I remember when you can buy them old Barlows, you can buy one bladed Barlow for 15 or 20 cents, and you can buy two bladed for a quarter. And he bought all them knives over there that day. Several hundred dollars worth.
Really? That was quite a store at one time, wasn't
it?
Did a lot of business.
And I was going to buy some paint over there, paint the house at that time. This woman bought all of it, and she said, I said, what are you going to do, sell that paint? She said, no, I'm going to use it. She bought all of it.
Oh.
And Ruth Pointer, and she's retired now, but I was up there. That woman lives up there by the paint this church.
This is a Christian church. And then the Baptist church is up the road.
Gertrude lives back here, don't she?
Gertrude Collins? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She lives right up here.
Well,
you remember Gertrude as a young girl?
Well, yeah. Charlie Collins' daughter.
Yeah.
And her daughter was named Mildred, I believe. Charlie Collins?
Yeah, it was her dad, wasn't he?
And Bob Collins had an undertaking business down there in that building across where that hardware store was.
Oh, they did?
Called Collins and Collins, yeah. In Charlie Collins, I bought both of these buses from him. He sold internationals.
Yeah, I remember Miss Gertrude said he did sell cars, and that's who you got your buses from, was her dad, huh?
Well, I sold cars in Fenningsburg, and Helpmobile, and I sold her. When they first come out, it was the Overland. First one that had gear shifting on the steering wheel. And I sold one or two of them, and then Callaway and Webb and Lexington. It got to where they couldn't get them. The Lever sold Cynthia and wanted one of them. And I had that one. I had a demonstrator. And he called me up and said, "Have you sold that?" I said, "No, I've got a prospect." He said, "I'll be down there Sunday. I want to buy it. Because I want to sell it for a man over Cynthia Anna." And he gave me $100 profit on it, and I let him have it. And that's the only one I sold of that. And I sold Dew Ranch, several of them.
Sold who?
Durant, but the Hupmobile, my daddy and son, a brother, sold several of them before I come out of the Army, and after I got out, I sold two or three war wheels. Well, the standard cars then was Buick and Hudson and Hupmobile and Buick and Overland, all them cars then. The standard price on them run anywhere from $1,200 to $1,700 or $1,800 right then. Now just look what they are now.
Yeah, but $1,700 or $1,800 was a lot of money then.
Oh, it was.
It was an awful lot of money. What'd you do during the Depression? Did the Depression hurt you any?
Oh, I remember it might have been 1930.
What were you?
People had to give up their farms and different things.
What were you doing during the Depression?
I had that building down there. Where I told you the garage is, I had a big lot in the back of it. And I put that in the back of 1 or 2 years. I bought lots all over town. One time I went up to the bank in Jerry Hall. I bought several lots for $1,100. He said, "I see you've been buying lots." I said, "Yeah." He said, "They ain't a poor investment." I said, "Well, in time it might not be." And I kept them several times, and I just doubled the money on them when I sold them. And if I'd kept them till now, I could have made plenty out of them.
But the
big demand now, you see, for them.
But financially, the Depression didn't hurt you too bad then. I mean, you were okay during the Depression.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was bad in 30, was. Yeah. And everything dried, didn't raise nothing. But it ain't much worse than it is now. It's pretty bad. Right now, the farmer ain't making no money.
No. No, he sure isn't.
Mm-mm. Let's see, I don't know. But there's something, there's a big trouble over there one time. A man named Jefferson, he always had a stiff neck. And there was somebody killed that time. I don't remember who it was, but there was one sergeant called Levi Ball. I seen that in that book. I remember when that come out way back.
Were people weren't really any different, were they then, when you were a boy, than they are now? Or were they a lot different?
Oh, a lot different. Shoot, yeah.
How were they different?
Well, everybody was trying to get along, you know, and they was all friendly and neighborly. Everything more than they are now, some of them. Of course, there's lots of good neighbors now, but some of them don't even know their name.
When you were a young man, what did you do to have a good time?
Go fishing, swimming holes. Down below where we live, there's an old swimming hole, there yet, maybe. And rabbit hunting in the wintertime, wrap your feet in coffee in sacks, you know. Tie strings around and go out hunting rabbits.
Were you a good shot?
And then we bought rabbits. My dad bought rabbits there.
What'd he buy rabbits for?
Hang in my back room. I've seen hundreds of them hanging back there, and partridges too. You'd buy them for $1.25 a dozen. But everything was plentiful. And after that, when I went in that produce business, the day before, after Thanksgiving, I went to Maple with a truck to Albert West. You don't remember when started produce run down there. No. Right now, that's a hardware store or something. Right to the side of the post office.
Yeah, okay.
I took 2,400 rabbits on one truck down there.
2,400?
2,400.
The people around it shot.
That's how plentiful it was now. Now you can't hardly find a rabbit.
No.
But the meat shops got together and they made them quit buying them, you see. They said they had disease and different things. And they hurt the rabbit market, but I haven't seen one on the place. Have you lately?
Not very many.
Hardly ever seen one.
And you say partridges, too? Were, you could find a lot of partridges around here?
Oh, plenty of them. I see them hanging up hundreds of them, a dollar, quarter, dozen.
What, your dad would pay people to shoot them and bring them into him? Mm-hmm. How much would he pay them?
Most of them paid 20 cents apiece for rabbits. But they went up after that. Well, you ship them to Cleveland, you get about 30 cents apiece. One time, I down there, is below, you know where Scott Ross lives?
Yeah.
His daddy, Andy Ross, his daddy lives down on Shannon, below the twin bridges down there. Down on the Sardis Road, there's two bridges down there, all called twin bridges.
Yeah.
And that's what they are yet, I reckon. And I forgot what I was going to tell there now.
Well, you were talking about rabbits, and did they shoot a lot of rabbits down there?
Yeah. No, this field, below Scott Ross's, down there, went up. Mr. Kinder lived up there a long time. I know he come down there with two horses and a cow and made all his money. And he went to Parker's and Mays Lick and stayed there several years, and he owns where he's at now at one time about 500 acres of land or more. And
now, what do you, when you said Parker's and Mays Lick, where's that?
Preston Parker, he was on the Helena Road, you know, out there. Sanford lives there now.
Oh, okay. All right.
And the Clark place, it's empty, looks to me like now.
Yeah, I think so.
John Clark had a big family. One time somebody asked John how many he had. Said, I haven't counted them lately. He's got a boy in the middle, a grandson that was one army. John, you know.
Yeah, okay. Boy. Yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Let's see. I don't know what else. Anything else you want to know about it? I don't believe.
You remember the tobacco wars?
Huh?
You remember anything about the tobacco wars that took place in Mason County?
Tobacco.
Tobacco war? When Longnecker's house got shot up?
Oh, my, yes. 50 or 100 horseback riders come by the store there. They come in there and got my daddy's Winchester shotgun. He knows who got it, but I never did. And they all went over there. Longneckers and Elsie Cliff was going to raise it in spite. And they put out beds, and they went over and tore them up. And they went to that house, and they had barbed wire through the fences. And they went in there and shot all the transom lights out. And they took refuge in there. Cliff was there, and Longneckers all went back in there. And somebody got hurt that night pretty bad, hung on that wire. There's blood on it. They found a hat, but they had no name in it. And there was, oh, there was hundreds of them there. And that gun, my dad never come back the next day. There was 100 horses, I expect, horseback riders went over there.
Were they masked riders, or did they have hoods on their faces?
Some of them did. Jimmy Piles lives there now.
Yeah. Were the riders, the night riders, did they, I know they went to Longnecker's place, but were they, did they have to go to a lot of places, or did most of the people go along with them?
They went to Elsie Cliff's, but Elsie went up there.
To Longnecker's.
He was in there. Elsie was. In Book Cliff, he's a big boy. The Book lived in Middle.
How come they decided to grow it?
Huh?
How come they decided to defy him and grow it? Do you know? why they decided to go on and grow the tobacco that year?
Some of them went on loaded. They growed down there at Finch. Bob and Jesse Jefferson, you don't know them. They did many too, all of them. Just this side of the fence place.
Okay.
You know where Alfred Shanklin lives? Shanklin's?
Mm-hmm.
Right across from there was Jefferson. Bob Jefferson, he raised that ear. And I went down there, he wanted me to haul tobacco. And some of them said, I wouldn't go down and haul that tobacco for nothing. Says, you get hurt. And I went there and took a collection, got 4,500 pounds, unloaded the warehouse, and I stayed the next day, 2 days, and we slept on Limestone Street there somewhere, and he gambled every night, went to the gambling house, and I went, stayed there. But then the second day, he was just paying me for hauling that. I don't know when I'll see you, and I'm going on back. I say, you know, it's me staying up here. Well, he said, all right. And he stayed up there, and he gambled away most of that money. But I never was bothered at all.
You didn't have any trouble?
Mm-mm.
Were you scared taking it in there?
And I went down the river at Maysville, way down Ohio River, Bull Ripley. Got another crop going to a man down there. That was excess tobacco, too. I might have got caught with it, but I got by with that.
Did you take it to Lexington to sell then, or?
No, Maysville.
Or you took it to Maysville, and you mm-hmm. nobody gave you any trouble about
went
hauling
down there
it.
And got it and brought it home where I...
No surprise they didn't go after you.
It was dangerous to try to haul it. One I had for him, the name of... I don't know what his name is now, but he used to go up Black Oak Bottom and get a barge load of watermelon and bring them down there. Great big watermelon, weigh 40 pounds, striped.
Tastes good, huh?
Mm-hmm. I thought of his name the other day. I go to bed at night sometimes trying to think of a name and lose a night's sleep trying to think of it. Maybe the next morning I'll get up and think of it.
Yeah, I think we all do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I dream so much.
Yeah. Well, you knew a lot of people being in business all those years, though.
Yeah.
Met a lot of them. Was there anybody that you remember that really stood out, a character or somebody that you really thought a lot of over the years? Somebody that sticks in your mind?
Well, I didn't think of them less than I thought the other night how many people I'd had work for me, about 20. And neither one of them here today, black or white. Not one of them. Harry Carr up there, Lexington.
Who?
Harry Carr, he works for Ford. Maybe you know him, but he?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know.
He's a half Indian. He comes to Dudley Garage, and he's 13 years old, and I'm at Funbury, that's 22. And we're the oldest ones, I think, in town now.
Do you see him any at all?
Huh?
Do you ever get to see him?
I see him every week, nearly. He puts 3 days a week in Ford's area. And I guess the best mechanic is. But he keeps up with all the new late developments in cars.
Yeah.
Takes the motor age. And he married a half-white woman. He's got two boys as mechanics. And there's a woman from Alabama here, over there, had the churches around in Washington and Clemensburg. And she's black as ink, and her just as kinky as a sheep wool. And he married her. I never thought he'd marry her. She's a right good kind of a preacher, but why he ever married that woman, I never did know.
When you were a boy, were there a lot of Indians still around this area?
Oh, yeah.
What tribes?
When we run the hotel there was a man there called Charlie Lewis. He was a pretty nearly all Indian. And the old lady, she was a slave, and said old Marcy used to whip him with a cat of nine tails. rawhide. And when they tore this John Cullen property down there across from the Presbyterian Church there in Clementburg recently, Dr. Rye bought it. Didn't Billy Hillard get it all up? They had a slave house back of it, and they gave it to...
Oh, yeah.
Huh? And he's fixed that up real nice now, and he lives in there, Dr. Rye. And it's an old place, real old.
Oh, okay, I know where you're talking about.
Another old man here, we had him sold our stuff down yonder. When we went to Plumberburg, we had a sale down there, and it rained all day. And I was just talking the other day, we had a hutch there, grandmother had a hutch there, we brought a lot of money, and one of them old-time bureaus, and tray, furniture, stem glasses, cut glass, and all that stuff. Never brought nothing for it.
Yeah, everybody had it. You remember your grandmother and grandfather?
Huh?
Do you remember your grandparents?
No, not my great-grandfather. He rode to Kansas and got the information on them. John, old man.
What about your grandparents?
Well, his name Will.
Yeah, now that's not your great-grandparents.
Huh? No, that's no. No, I don't remember their great. Aunt Ephraim, her dad and sister, come here with 16, brought her son with her. Armor, he worked with me that summer. And she gathered up his picture, the granddad, wore a little black tie. His great big picture then, he'd be that big.
Yeah.
And the dad's picture is the only one we had of him, except a group one time at the store down there. And she gathered all them up, left the frames here, rolled them up, took them home with her. And they were all dead and gone, and then we had he had to go up there and try to get all the information he could. But she got away with them in 1916 and took them home with her.
Nobody caught her doing it.
Of course, at that time, nobody was very much interested in the past, you know.
Yeah.
They looked in the future.
When?
Excuse me,
go ahead.
You remember your grandmother, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
That's what she asked if you
she
remember.
She was a Watson.
A Watson. What was her first name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Called her Aunt Lizzie. Most people.
She lived with you, or?
Yes, she lived there with us till she died.
Did she ever tell you any stories?
She died. After we went to move to Plumberburg 2 weeks, she died up at the hotel. She never got to live very long up there. She wasn't nothing particularly wrong with her. She just worn out. Been here in the days when they made maple sugar and all that stuff. She worked in that.
How old was she when she died, you know?
81.
Well, she lived a long life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She ever tell you any stories?
Oh, sit down and tell us a lot of stories.
You remember any of them?
And another one was Aunt Jew. She never did marry. And she spent her last days with cutting a lot of creek rap. You know where she lived out there on the Raymond Road.
No.
You know where Miss Breeze lived out there?
Mm-hmm.
Was the other side of her, the second house, cutting a lot of creek rap. And Mamie, you've heard of Riley Chambers.
I've heard the name.
Yeah, he's worth a lot of money. He married her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a cousin of mine.
Do you remember any stories your grandma used to tell you?
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the stories your grandmother used to tell you?
Oh, I never know. You sit down and talk about old times and everything. We had a big fireplace down there where we went, tried to go find down there. Great big fireplace. Every weekend they'd drag a log through about 4 foot long in the back, or back log. Didn't have no carpets on the floor, just wood, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Drag that in and clean the house up after. Put that log in last week. Then they had two dog irons, and they feed that with small woods, you know, and get it started. Never went out. They got all their lights with candle lighters. Never used no matches hardly.
Just got it all from the fireplace.
Had a big vase there. It sat down one night and rolled them candle lighters up and fold them up and put them in a vase and light one of them at the great, at that big fire to light the lamps.
Now,
lamps.
Tell me about a candle lighter. What was it? What did you make them out of?
Paraffine.
How'd you make them?
Teller, too. Well, we had one down in that cellar. I don't know what come was. It hung in the cellar over there, and I looked everywhere. It was about that long and had little holes in here. And you pour that down in there, and then it had a string. I don't know how they managed it there, but it had a string in the middle, you know, and then mold them. And they had them there to use.
You remember your mom making those?
Yes, sir. Made them. And they had a candle lamp, just like a pair of scissors, but they cut the wick trim all the time, you know, so they'd burn smooth. You know, I don't know what become of them.
Is that pretty good light?
Yeah. Now, the first improved lights that come out was after we moved up there to Clemensburg, what they call the rail light. It burned 80% of air. Made a big, nice lamp. We've got one there, over there on the table, I think, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's made electric light out of it.
When you were a boy, did you celebrate holidays like Christmas? Did you have a Christmas tree or anything when you were a young boy?
No. Early days, we hung our stockings on the mantle.
What'd you find in your stockings?
Hang a banana and an orange and a little candy and maybe a tin horn, pack of shooting crackers.
Everybody shot off fireworks here at
banana
Christmas, don't they?
And oranges were a rare thing at Christmas time. We never had them all the time, yeah.
But you didn't have a Christmas tree of any kind?
Not to remove that.
Yeah.
On the store, yeah.
Did your mom prepare a special meal for Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
What'd she cook?
I know she's going to get donuts and everything.
She made homemade donuts?
Yes, sir, they're good.
My grandma used to make homemade donuts. They are good.
And I'll tell you what they made was good. Fried apple pies.
Ooh, I love them.
Yes.
She dry her own apples?
There's been an old man by the name of Owsley up there in Paris, run a restaurant, and he's the only man ever I saw that had him for sale. And I'd go up to Lexington somewhere and stop there, coming home. He'd have a big stack of them over there across in the restaurant, fried pies.
Those are good. My friend's grandma used to make us fried pies.
Another thing, he had a long, and just like a skillet on his oblong, about this long. And you set that down there on the hearth, against that coal, and make shortening bread on it.
What is shortening bread? What's it made out of?
Oh, it's a lot of grease in it, and it falls apart. They make them as big as your hand, and lay them on that board, and bake them for that thing. And they had a wooden board they used to use there to make them on.
Were they like pancakes?
Huh?
Were they shaped like pancakes?
No, they're made out of meal. And they're, oh, you can put them in a sausage, cake of sausage in one of them. And I'll tell you what else they put in. It worked pumpkin in them. Pumpkin, they're good.
I don't think I've ever had any.
I seen my daddy come in, go hunting, and he'd get one of them. And a glass of milk and shaker sauce in one of them shortened bread. And they had something called chitlins. These niggers over here called chitlins, and we all call them cracklins. Well, you squeeze the grease out and they're real dry, and they're good to eat. But they'll make you sick if you eat too many.
You've eaten too many, I take it. Mr. Dye, I appreciate you coming by over here today and talking to me. I've been trying to meet you for about a year. Well, David told me.
Knowing you're getting into this, I could put down some things maybe that I haven't thought of. But the fact is, I told you I didn't live about 6 miles from there, but